Good afternoon, brethren. This has been quite a week, especially for our friends in Iraq. You're probably all aware of that. We've been watching it pretty close. It's pretty awesome to see what happens when freedom comes in their land. We are fast approaching the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Tuesday evening next week is the Passover. Wednesday evening is the night to be much observed, which also is the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. God requires us not to only put leavening out of our homes, but Wednesday evening is the night to be much observed. And also, he also requires us to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And that's in Exodus 12:15. What does unleavened bread have to do with God's holy days? What is it that God wants us to learn from this analogy? I want to review what God's word says about what is leavening. Two, what do we put why do we put leavening out? And three, how do we put leavening out? Number one, what is leavening? The simple explanation is that when a leavening agent is used, it puffs up. 1 Corinthians 5:6 shows your boasting, and also you can also put in overconfidence, related to leavening is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Another area, God says, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's when you say one thing and do another. Therefore, he says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As God intended, since you're truly unleavened, as God intended for us to become, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. When God freed Israel from slavery in Egypt, he told his people that for sin, he told his people that for 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Egypt was a type of sin, the leavening. And coming out of Egypt relates to us coming out of sin. God wants us to observe the feast season, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is mentioned in the Old Testament, Leviticus 23:6, or the Days of Unleavened Bread, which are mentioned in the New Testament in Acts 12:3. That is what leavening is. Second, why do we put leavening out? In 1 Corinthians 5:8, he says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, what kind of focus on the sincerity and truth? Sincerity is being honest, genuine, and authentic. Truth is reality and factual. Why do we put leavening out? We put leavening out so we can become more like Jesus Christ. God wants us to be authentic and honest, and that our hard hearts will become soft. God wants us to be more patient and kind, to share and admit our faults throughout the year with Him and those that we know are safe for us to share our faults with, and to work on a plan to continuously improve. To bring in a little bit about the growth groups that we have, this is a fine time that we get together and be able to share and process some of the problems that we go through daily, weekly, or monthly, that we can help each other and pray for each other. And the growth groups are excellent for that. I'll put a little plug for them. I guess I have to say one of the basic goals we have is to become healthier spiritually and physically. How do we put leavening out? Let's start that with the physical side. We clean our homes, our cars, boats, whatever else is ours that we eat in. We're getting rid of all the crumbs and leavening that have accumulated throughout the year. removing all the leavening products from our home or office areas that are our areas of responsibility. This also helps us to relate how sin is hidden in the nooks and crannies of our minds. This week I cleaned out our garage and finished up washing the floor, which gave me such a sense of relief when it was so clean and organized. This reminded me of how messy and cluttered things can get. What a mess it was, but boy, it was so nice to get it cleaned up. Spiritually talking, we can let's go to some other areas we can think of. It is good to examine our thoughts and deeds and motives to make sure that they are of a pure intent. It is so easy to be deceived and to think we are doing the right thing when maybe we're not. God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. Jesus brings out a key point in verse 8, showing us truth is an important ingredient. We must be truthful with God in our examination process. But I was missing an additional ingredient, and I needed help to help me more fully understand this process. Let's go to John 1:14, for this additional ingredient. The Word Jesus Christ became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I was focusing just on the truth. I came to realize a missing ingredient that helped me finally understand that Jesus Christ's love and the help I needed to get me on the path to honestly see some of my most offending sins. One of Jesus' strongest messages of grace and truth is in Jesus' treatment of the adulterous woman in John 8:1-11. John 8:1-11, and I'll read that. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people were gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman in that was caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the whole group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Now on a sidelight, the Romans did not allow the Jews to carry out the death sentence. So if Jesus said, stone her, he would be in conflict with the Romans. If he said, don't stone her, he would be accused of undermining the Jewish law. But Jesus refused to fall into their trap. He bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he stood up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, let's just imagine here a minute what Jesus might have written. Can you just see them looking over his shoulder and watching what he was writing and possibility that might have been some of their names and some of their sins? At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. He was only left with the woman that was still standing there. Jesus stood up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your sin, life of sin. Notice Jesus' first focus was not on the one who had sinned, but it was on the ones who were condemning her. But his second focus was on her to leave her life of sin. Jesus was showing his grace. In this one encounter, Jesus was showing what it means to know grace and truth in him. He offered the woman grace in the form of acceptance and forgiveness. Notice that Jesus gave ownership of sin back to her to work out. But she did not have to die for her sin. She was accepted by Christ, and she did not have to be separated from him, but with the condition that she leave her life of sin. Again, Jesus did not accuse her of guilt or condemn her, but showed forgiveness, compassion, and acceptance. And this behavior is also what God wants you and me to achieve for ourselves and others. My problem for years, I thought I was condemned for the sins, and guilt overwhelmed me. I now realize that I am free to admit my sins and to be open with God to get help and not feel condemned. Jesus paid that price for me by his sacrifice. I can be truthful with God, and he can help me. My focus is now on how I can improve and not solely on how I missed the mark. This time is dedicated to help us examine and improve and to grow in the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ, our Passover. As we eat unleavened bread this year, let us make a personal plan on how we can leave our life of sin and help and support each other. This year, let us challenge ourselves to get closer and closer to the righteousness of Christ and leave sin further and further behind us. What an awesome God we have to give us this Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread to help us to leave sin behind and to press forward to complete his great work for this dying world.